The book of Hosea is a story of love. It's also a story of intrigue and betrayal. It is also a story of redemption. It is a story that is wet with the tears of God and the tears of humanity. It is a story of great passion. It is a story that takes place in a very difficult time in Israel's history. It's a time when Israel cannot be used as a name and mean all of the people of God, where there has been a civil war some time back. And now there is Judah, the southern kingdom, and Israel, the northern kingdom. It is not a time when you can say the king of Israel and be talking about the line of David. Or even of kings that serve God and God alone. Ahab and Jezebel have been on the throne not too long ago. Jehu put an end to that, but with great bloodshed. It is a time in Israel's history when God says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O people Israel. The Lord has filed a lawsuit against you, saying, there is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. You curse and lie and kill and steal and commit adultery. There is violence everywhere, with one murder after another. That is why your land is not producing. It is filled with sadness. And all living things are becoming sick and dying. Even the animals and the birds and the fish have begun to disappear." Before we're too hard on Israel, I thought I would read that to you, because to me it sounds like the newspapers and the nightly news that we deal with now, with the violence and the pollution and the sadness that we hear all the time. Then as now, there were still people of God who sought what God would want for God's people and God's nation. I see Hosea as one of those people truly seeking after God. Perhaps he prayed day and night, "Lord, what is your word for Israel today? What do you have to say with us? Say to us, how can you heal our land? How can I be a part of bringing redemption, of bringing the people back to you?" And then the Lord breaks into Hosea's life and speaks. There is a word from God to Hosea, but it's an absolutely shocking word. It is not the thing that you or I would expect to hear, and I'm quite sure that Hosea was surprised as well. The word of God breaks in and says, "Hosea, go and marry a promiscuous woman." A promiscuous woman? A whore? But Lord, that has got to be against everything you teach, everything you say, everything you are. But God says, "Nope, that's what I want you to do. And some of the children she has will not be yours. But it is this way that you will know my heart, that you will know the anguish that I am experiencing at the unfaithfulness of my people. And then you will be able to speak for me." So Hosea marries Gomer, and they have a son. A son that Hosea is told by God to name Jezreel. Jezreel means God plants. It's a powerful, good name. But Jezreel is also a location. It's a location of many of the murders and despair of Israel. It is the place where Ahab and Jezebel had their summer palace. It is a place of disobedience to God. It is the place where Jezebel, in her disobedience to God, met her death. It's a place where Naboth, do you remember that name, had his vineyard that was right beside Ahab and Jezebel's palace. The palace that Ahab coveted, or the vineyard that Ahab coveted, the man that Jezebel had killed in order that Ahab might have the vineyard he wanted. To say the name Jezreel was to carry with it bloodshed and murder. That was a part of Israel's history right now. Perhaps God hoped that as the town gossiped about the child and the mother, the name Jezreel would bring them back to remembering the God who planted them. Next, they have a daughter. And God says to name her Lo-Ruhamah. It's a mouthful. And what it means is even worse, not loved. How could you name a child something so horrible? Not loved. And so Isaiah held her in his arms. Was that how he felt? Knowing that likely this child was not his own? Or did his heart break with love for her, wondering if she would ever have the love that she deserved? Perhaps there was a certain delight for him in knowing that as they repeated her name, whispered by the neighbors, gossiping about this child in his arms, that they would also be whispering the truth about them, that they had forsaken the love of God. Perhaps he hoped that God would make true on the name, and that anyone that hurt her would be not loved, that God would remove his mercy and not show forgiveness. Then comes the third child, a son, Lo-Ami, not my people, or not my children. By this time, even if Hosea had been closing his eyes to other things, he had to know that the child he held this time was not his own. And that anything that the people had missed in the past was being gossiped about greatly. His wife had chased after other lovers and had children by them. And now he held a child that was not his own. Can you imagine in that day and age how the people would have talked? How the names of these children would have been repeated over and over? Perhaps by this time there was a certain delight for Hosea in God's choice of a name. He snickered to himself and said, as they banter back and forth about and gossip and whisper and say ugly things about my son, not being my son, when they say his name, they will have to be saying the same about themselves. Lo-Ami, not my people. That they too, by their sin, have forfeited their right in the family of God. Gomer was a woman who was bent on adultery. And as she chased after lovers, things got worse and worse. And at some point, her situation changed greatly. And she was no longer the woman who was adored and loved by men. But her state had become reduced to the point that she had lost her freedom, had had to sell herself into slavery, and was now the slave of another man. You can imagine the anguish of Hosea. Not a pretty life to live. Not a comforting place to be. But his identification with God's anguish over his people became personal. And it was now that Hosea could open up and truly relate to the heart of God and write the things and proclaim the things that were heavy on God's heart. So much of the book of Hosea is incredible poetry that depicts the despair of God over his people, the brokenness of his heart, the tears he has shed. It's as though the book of Hosea is saturated with divine tears. But into all of this despair, into all of this sense that there is no hope, that the people have gone too far, that Hosea's wife is gone forever, God instills hope. God never leaves us without hope. As unfaithful as we are, God proclaims, I will continue to be faithful. And somehow, some way, I will bring these people back to me. That will be the day of Jezreel. That will be the day when God plants God's people. That will be the day when we will say to one another, Ruhamah, loved. Ami, children of God. And it will be true. And just to show how serious God is about not letting go of us and chasing after us with his love, in spite of his broken heart, in spite of our unwillingness, then and now, to turn from our sinfulness, the word of God comes to Hosea again in a very personal way. Then the Lord said to me, go and get back your wife again. Bring her back to you and love her, even though she loves adultery. For the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods, offering them choice gifts. So he goes. And he finds his wife. And he does something absolutely amazing. He buys her back from slavery. And the price he pays for her, this woman of adultery, who's become so worn and haggard by her own sin, that she can no longer live just as a lover, but has had to sell herself to slavery. A woman whose worth would have amounted to nothing in a place like Israel. He pays full price for her. He pays full price for her and buys her back as his own. Can you imagine? He didn't barter. He didn't dick her. He didn't say, good grief, I mean, why would you want her anyway? I'm supposed to get her back. You know, what's the least you will take for her? No, he goes and he pays full price. And he brings her back to himself. The day of Jezreel will be great. In many ways, in the coming of Christ, we are living in that day. The day when we, through the blood of Christ, have been called the children of God and have been told that we are loved. And even though we are bent on sinning, running after all kinds of gods with lustful eyes, our desire for wealth and riches, we chase after beauty, we chase after status, we give the choice things of our life to our careers, to our reputation. And even though we are still bent on sinning, God comes to us in the man of Jesus Christ and does something absolutely amazing. He pays full price for us. Us! He pays the ultimate price in giving his life that we might know that's how valuable we are. That's how loved. That's how much God does not want to be separated from us.